Jesus. Who is this man? Jesus. Who is this man? About 3 weeks ago, we determined clearly, I believe, out of the Scripture that this man, Jesus, is and was and always shall be God. Clearly, he was God. 100% God and 100% man. Then about 3 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as rabbi, that he's our teacher, that he wants to be your rabbi. And he's looking for serious disciples because a rabbi had followers, and the follower would say, I want to be like you. Rabbi, I want to know what you know. Rabbi, I want to do what you do. I want to be just like you. And followers would give their lives to learn and sit before a rabbi. And Jesus is still looking for followers like that here. Last week we talked about Jesus as a miracle worker. He did. He performed miracles. You can read all about them in the Gospels. It's a wonderful, wonderful story each and every time. And we didn't look at what could have been dozens, I suppose, of miracles recorded for us. We took a closer look at two. We started with the one that he did first. At least that's what John tells us, his first miracle, which seems to many of us in this crowd to be rather trivial. He turned water into wine. It was a miracle. He did that to help and rescue a family that he loved who were at a celebration and they ran out of wine. And Jesus never brought out attention, never talked with everybody about, watch this. He just did it. He just took care of the need. His mother was there. She sent him to the back. I know he'll take care of this. He'll do something extraordinary, and he did. And then we looked, finally, at Jesus' amazing miracle out on a hillside with what scholars believe might have been anywhere from 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people altogether on a hill. And a great lesson, again, on discipleship for Jesus and his men, because somebody said, they're all hungry, Master. And he said, well, where are we going to get food? And, well, I don't know where we're going to get food. Where are we going to get food out here? Watch this. He took one little lunch, multiplied that lunch in an extraordinary way. Everybody had lunch. All the disciples had lunch, and there were leftovers they took home. Just a miracle. Another miracle of Jesus. We've been camped in the Gospel of John as we've looked together at who is this man. And I want to bring you there again this morning. If you would turn to John chapter 5 this morning, I want, as we just introduced, to think about Jesus as the healer. The Lord Jesus Christ as the healer, as expressed in the Gospels to us. In chapter 5 and verse 2, one of many stories of Jesus healing someone, a physical healing in an amazing way took place. Let's review that story just a little bit together. Let me just read a little bit of this. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick and blind and lame and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. This complex of two pools surrounded by big columns and overhead, it's an amazing sight if you have a chance to get to Jerusalem and to see this. It just sits right below Herod's temple. It's a big structure with lots of stuff all around it. And it became sort of a religious sanitarium, if you please. The Greeks believed in a god of medicine and healing, and it was thought by many that in this pool there were kind of mystery waters, and when they would move a little bit, they would bring healing. If you looked to the right god and found the right god in that midst, you could get healing in this place. A god they would describe as a god of kindness and gentleness, and a god that would bring healing at certain times and moments. This attraction in the city brought people from everywhere who were sick and in need of help. It was believed that these waters, when stirred by the Lord, could bring healing and rest and comfort. I tell you, it is not unlike what the Ute Indians first discovered right here in Glenwood Springs. Pools that would bring healing, that would bring comfort and encouragement. I like to call it today the world's largest baptism tank. And if you drive over Grand Avenue, you see how full the tank is all day long, especially during spring break, right? It's been filled with people, for the most part, here having a great time, family time, really enjoying and comfort and rest. But you know what? There's an aspect to it that brings relief and comfort. The mineral waters for healing. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to celebrate one of the Jewish feasts, he visited this place, this sanitarium, and during his visit, he came upon a man who had been debilitated of disease for almost four decades. Now, I remind you, Jesus is God, so he knows everybody that was at the pool that day. And there were a lot of people, we're told, that were sick and lame and withered and in need of. But one man caught his attention who had been there 38 years in that condition and unable to get well. Verse 5, look at it. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" What kind of a question is that? Do you wish to get well? The sick man quickly answered what the story was, that was his condition and the problem of not getting well all this time. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. It was thought that the waters, when stirred, would bring some healing. And this man was alone and in this condition for a long time, and apparently in a race for a spot in the hot pool, he was never able to get there in time. And since Jesus is God in every way and knew this man, everything about him, without announcement, I remind you, without fanfare again, never did our Lord say, "Listen, everybody, let me show you one. This is going to be good. Everybody gather around." Nor did he bring this man into the waters or stir the waters. No, he's in essence, I believe, he was looking into this man's heart and into his eyes and saying, "Sir, it's between you and me. It's not about a certain season. It's not about a certain pool. It's not about a certain movement of water. It's not about this. It's not about that. I'm telling you, it's about me. I'm the healer. You look at me. You talk to me. I'm reading your heart right now. Do you want to get well? You've been in this condition a long time, and you've been unable to get into that. Listen, it's about me. I'm your healer. I'm the Son of God. I'm looking into your heart right now. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" without any announcement. Might have been noisy, like our pool is. Lots of people moving around. I don't know. He says, you and me, then you pick up that pallet and you begin to walk. And just the two of them, he did that. He trusted in Jesus as healer. I want to stop right there and answer a couple, three questions that you may be wondering about your pastor's view on a subject like this. Do I believe that God can heal? Absolutely, with my whole heart I do. Do I believe He does heal? Absolutely, completely. Have I seen cases where God has healed? I'm telling you this morning, I believe I have. I honestly, over these years, believe I have seen God do a miracle healing in somebody's life. It's amazing every time. Do I believe that God has ultimately placed His healing powers in a few anointed individuals who claim to do divine healing? I do not. Now, my position may not be popular in some places, even of this valley, but in no way does this mean that I do not believe that God does not have the power to heal, because I believe He does and I know He does. The problem comes so often when attention is focused on a person who claims healing powers in a series of emotionally charged up events that you and I probably have witnessed on TV a lot. And if those advertised divine healers are authentic, they're genuine, and possess an extraordinary ability to heal, why are they not spending their week going room to room in every hospital they can find? Why are they not, these famous healers, showing humility and doing their giftedness free of charge? No, the emphasis must not be on a person at all, but on Jesus as the healer. The all-powerful living God certainly has the power to heal. With God, nothing is impossible. He can do it all, and He does it all. However, in His wise and His sovereign plan, I tell you this morning that I believe you will recognize with me that He has not chosen to remove all suffering and all sickness and all disease and all death from this earth. That would be nice. That would be good. I would like that. He has not chosen to do that. I do not for a moment pretend to understand or know His sovereign choices to heal one and not another. To heal a few and not all of them at the pools that day. He picked one man, you and me. I'm reading your heart. There's a lot of people here. He was just focused on one. But that is His choice, and that is Jesus' right, and I minister to both here in our family and this community. And of course, even those who are healed, and I've witnessed it, I've seen it, I've praised God for it when I have been a part of something like that, and I've seen God do a miracle. At some point in their life, in our lives, we all face death. In that sense, we are all terminal, aren't we? There are times when it is God's beautiful will that somebody be healed, and when that is true, He does so miraculously and immediately. Please remember that. When God is involved in the healing, and the emphasis is on Jesus as healer, it is immediate, it is miraculous, and it is permanent, because that's the way God does things. Now, there were many other healings in the Scripture. You know many of those wonderful stories of Jesus touching people's needs. He did it all 3 years, just constantly. It was just beautiful. But not everybody. Not everyone. And we could look at those. I know we could, but what I've chosen to have you look at with me is let's go to the book of James together and see the steps that I believe are prescribed for us there. And a good reminder of Jesus as healer. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, James identifies three categories of people in the family of God. Let me just read it and then we'll back up a little bit. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Then he is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church and to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The first category of people in the church are those he identifies as those who are suffering. By the way, this is the only time this word in its form Greek appears in the New Testament. It is a word that referred more than anything else to those who are persecuted, who are living in difficult times. And as I think about the people that James was writing to, living persecuted lives under very difficult circumstances, far, far more difficult than mine in any way, shape, or form, I think about those today suffering in Japan, in Haiti. Talk about suffering. We've gone under horrifying conditions, difficult days. And what is this instruction to them? Anybody among us suffering? Then pray. Now think about that, and I think, you know, that's just a thing we always say to do, pray. That's a religious deal. I mean, they all talk about praying. Does it really work? James says, you bet it does. Anybody suffering? Pray. Bring it to God. Talk to God about it. Pray. Bring it up to Him. He will care for you. Talk to Jesus as your healer who wants to bring healing into your life. If you're suffering, then pray. Notice that they're not even promised anything specific in this text and not even assured that the pain and the suffering will end. I don't see it there. But all of those who are suffering, pray. Pray. But in praying, new strength comes to the prayer with the promised strength to endure whatever it is that God has mapped out for me, for you at this moment in your life. Pray. Pray. Anyone among you suffering, then he must pray. The second category of people, look at it. Anyone cheerful? Then he is to sing praises. I'm so glad that's in there. Anybody got a reason for a praise request and giving God the glory this morning? I'll bet there is all over this room. People filled with all kinds of, God has answered, yay, God, thank you, Father, for doing this and that, and I have a praise to you. I'll bet we all have something like that. And James says, look, anybody among you cheerful? Then sing, like we did earlier. Then sing, then praise God. Then lift up your hands and give your hearts up to the Lord and honor Him and love Him and smile. I love it when we look out from up here and see you smiling. I know it helps when we're smiling too. We got to remember that. Smile when you sing. Where did we ever get this idea that church is supposed to be this serious looking, feeling, dangerous? Not at all. Smile. James says, anybody among you cheerful? Then give God praise. Sing constantly. Give him the praise. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Don't ever forget that. And then the third category of folks are those who are sick. Do you see that? Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Listen, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Anyone among you sick, then call for the elders of the church. Strikes me this morning that sometimes your shepherds, I think there's eight of us, are sometimes the last to hear when you are sick. I understand, I understand that there's issues there of privacy, and you're hurting, and you don't care to have a bunch of people show up and all this. I understand that. I do. But let us pray. Get it on the prayer chain. It's on there every week. All kinds of, and I read that, don't you? And I pray for people who are hurting and sick. And we will come and do what this scripture tells us to do. Somebody just asked our board a couple of weeks ago, do you guys ever go pray with somebody who's sick? And we were able to say, yes, we do. When we are called on, we will be there each and every time to pray. And even though right now I'm living way down valley, we got all these electric gadgets on us all the time. And besides, Jeff lives right across the street from the hospital. Come on, let us know. We want to be there. We want to be with you. We want to pray with you. We want to do what this scripture is teaching me as an elder to do. When you call upon it, we'll be there to pray. And let them pray over them, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. What is this oil thing all about? That was not only a reference to Old Testament ceremonial practices where oil was poured over the head of someone. You remember that? Like David, when he was chosen king, that would be the sign. No, not him. Yes, that was the sign. And it's come to recognize a beautiful symbol of the Holy Spirit on somebody's heart and life. But it's more than that here. Having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord, it was a word that means more than anointed. Some of your translations read rubbing. Taking the oil and rubbing that to help the wound. The story of the Good Samaritan comes to my mind when Dr. Luke writes about it. He knows. He deals with it all the time. And he wrote all about that Good Samaritan story. He saw that and it meant something personal to him as a doctor. Check it out. Do you remember the Good Samaritan story? This man stopped to care for another man who had been beaten on the road to Jericho. And he poured oil in the wounds. Check it out. Same word. He poured oil on the wounds. So the idea to me was pray and apply the anointing, the rubbing of the wound. Do everything you can to minister to this person. In my opinion, that means today, see your doctor and follow his or her instructions. That comes first. Then prayer. Having anointed with oil, having done what is you are able to do, seeking help and direct, do it, and then pray. Those seeking miracles often consider consulting a physician somehow an unwillingness to trust God in the process. I call that unbiblical here. Back in the New Testament day, there were so few doctors that James instructs the elders to apply the appropriate measures in any way they can to help. And finally, the results are left in the Lord's hands. Let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord meant the will of the Lord. when it is His sovereign will to bring healing, it will occur, my friends. And in that case, the prayer offered in faith will restore this one. Verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, this verse also brings a lot of confusion to people. There are those who teach that anytime you are really sick, it is because of some sin in your life. That's not what it's saying. If there's an issue, and you know that there's an issue, and you are out of your relationship and fellowship with God, it's been hurt, it's grieving, and you're not loving the Savior because of your activity and your sinful character, James says, then take care of that. Don't walk away from that. Confess that, your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. It's concerning the one who is ill and knows that he or she is living a lifestyle that is hurtful and wrong. And that needs to be brought out into the open, and those you can trust in the family are brought into your prayer about that. And the result is healing in as well as out. No, not all sickness is the result of sin, but if it is, James says, now don't walk away from that. Take care of that. You know something's wrong with God. You pray. You do that. Jesus is my God. This man is my rabbi. Jesus is my miracle worker, and Jesus is my healer. Remember this if you forget all of the rest this morning. Number one, confession of sin is healthy. Do it. We don't do that as much anymore. It's not as popular. We're individuals. We take care of ourselves. I don't want it to be anybody else's business. No, what I read in an ancient, okay, culture says confession of sin is healthy. Do it. Do it. Do it before this day is done. Get before God, maybe just Him, today and confess that which is hurtful and wrong in your relationship with Him. He wants that. Second, praying for one another is essential. Practice it. We try to encourage that every Sunday around here at the close of our service. And I really thank God for those who come and want to pray. And pray for each other. Now, you can do it all week long. I know we all get the prayer list. We all have a different way to do that in the car or when we're in the study, in my case, or at home or wherever we happen to be. We look at that list and we pray for each other. That is great. But when you're with each other, pray for one another. Don't forget prayer in your times of getting together in small groups and with other families. And Sunday, don't forget to pray when you come here for worship. Pray for one another. Before you leave, stop somebody. Just good morning, how are you? Great, see you next week. Let me pray for you. Do you have something I can really pray about for you? Yeah. I bet you'd get a lot of ideas. We're hurting people. We need to pray for one another. It's essential. Practice it. Third, medical assistance is important. Obey it. A few weeks ago, we talked about issues of our day, and we took a special few moments to pray for our doctors, our surgeons, our assistants, our nurses, our chaplains, everybody in our valley here who ministers through Jesus to others. It's valuable, it's important, it's beautiful. You and I, we don't tend to even think much about the hospital until we need it. Then we're often really glad it's there. And somebody cares. And somebody's there to help. Medical assistance is important, obey it. And finally, when healing comes from God, claim it. Don't be shy of it. That's too bad. We lean way over to that other side so much of the time. Makes us nervous. No, when there's healing from God and Jesus is your healer, then claim it and rejoice in it. That's what God wants from us all the time. Jesus wants to heal. Maybe this morning. Maybe for you. Anyone among you suffering this week? Anybody under a big stress? You're glad nobody knows about it. Really, you couldn't sleep last night because of it? On your mind night and day? Ugh. Anybody suffering? Pray. You pray. You pray, James said. Pray. Anyone cheerful? Smile. Give God the glory. Tell Him how good He is. Thank You for that, Father. We always forget that, don't we, in our prayers? We come to Him with all of our needs and forget to come back and say, thank You. You did that. Anyone among you sick? I challenge you to call for the elders of the church. You call us. You call Jeff and Jared and I, or any of the guys. I'll probably miss some of them, but Jim and Pete and Wayne and Frank and Derek. Who else? What?
Dan.
Thank you. All right. You know, we have so many elders. It's just wonderful. We'll be there. You do this. You call for the elders. I'll see that we are there to love you and care for you and pray for you. That's what God has asked us to do in shepherding you. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank You that Your Son Jesus was and is the healer. And that, God, You always love to minister to us physically, spiritually, emotionally. In every way, You love to meet our need. And some of us are here this morning and we are really hurting. We are really sick. And some are hurting deeply. And they know somebody that's sick. And they haven't been sure what to do about it. And I pray that You would bring Your Holy Spirit into their heart and life right now to recognize that You want to take care of that. You want to bless them. You want to heal. And Lord, after this song that we're going to enjoy, and we gather for prayer up here in front, asking You to meet our needs, I pray that You will do that time and time and time again. We want to recognize You as the great yes physician. Not only a miracle worker, but our healer. Because of what You did on the cross, as Your Son gave His life to die for me, to die for us, and provide a way to glory with You forever. We love You. Minister to us through this well-known song. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.